What?
Go.
Oh, okay. Sunday morning, 11:10:19. This is a teaching called Warring a Good Warfare. Warring a Good Warfare. First scripture is Romans chapter 7, verse 23. By sin of the law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So we get a clue here as what warring is. It means to oppose. Paul's talking about there's a warfare going on against my mind. It's an opposition. It's the devil and his opposition. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is the warring. This is where we do warfare. A lot of people don't understand. They have problems and they go to the doctor, the lawyer, and the Indian chief. But that's not the kind of warfare we're talking about here. This is the true warfare. It's spiritual warfare. Our weapons, 1 Corinthians 10, 3-5, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, not the doctor, lawyer, and the chief, which the Lord can at times lead you to places, but they're mighty through God to put it down in strongholds. They're thoughts. They're countering thoughts. Let me just read that so we'll... 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5... I have a song that I sing a lot, and it's just a scripture song, and it's this scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. When we war a good warfare, our warfare is not of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And this is what that is, casting down. There's that opposition that we looked at in Romans 7:23, the warring, it's to oppose. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the devil take you down roads you don't want to go down. Don't let him come to your house and say, I'm having a party. You want to come? Don't go to his pity parties. When he shows up at your door, don't let him take your thoughts and start leading you down a road you don't want to go. You seize it and you start going the right way with it. You have to bring your thoughts under control. God's not going to do that for you. He's told you to do it. That's your warfare. We are soldiers. All right, Philippians 2:25. It's like a fish with bait sometimes with your mind. Here's something enticing, a morsel out there in the water, and the fish grabs it and takes off with it. That's the way the devil wants to take off with your thoughts. Before you know it, you think, how did I get there? Why did I do that? Your thoughts. 2:25. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Messenger, and he that ministered to my need. So, fellow soldiers, Paul and Epaphroditus, soldiers. The Strong's here says a soldier means warrior. What does a warrior do? War. Warfare. All right, 2 Timothy 2. Paul was among the elite. He was among the remnant. He was not among just the just the church bunch. He was called out. 2, 3, and 4. I heard somebody say that one day. If somebody comes along teaching you that there's another group that's better than the rest of you, he said, that's wrong. And I thought, no, it isn't wrong. There are those who do a good warfare and those who do nothing. There's a difference. Okay, 2, 3, and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So it's pleasing to God when we do warfare. He's the commander in chief. And it says we don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. In other words, all the pettiness and silliness that everybody else gets caught up in, we do not entangle ourselves with it. Endure there means to undergo hardship, be afflicted, hardness, suffer trouble. Hardness means the same thing. It's all through the New Testament. It is not a foreign concept. But to most Christians, boy, they think, dear God, what is this new thing? You mean I have to do something? This isn't Disneyland. Yeah, there's a ride over there. It's a cloud with harps. No, that's not the kind of ride we're on. All right. I just find that people are not willing to endure this process to be a spiritual warrior that does effective warfare. Wonder why we as a nation are in the mess we are in? We all slumbered and slept in all of the pedophilia, child sacrifice, human trafficking, satanic rituals. All this was going on and dominating all seven hills of culture, even the church. All this is going on. Now you mark the church. We're fixing to see some stuff coming out of the church. They're fixing to uncover some stuff. Like in that word I just said, judgment begins at the house of God first. There's corruption in the church. I read this week, one of the most fascinating books in the Bible to me is the book of Ezekiel. I think it's chapter, well, it doesn't matter which chapter, where God allows him to look into the hole in the wall, which is the tunnels underneath the temple. I was listening to something yesterday of some church, and I don't remember if it was the United States or somewhere else, where there were tunnels. In fact, no, I think it was in the United States, and all these children were abused and everything, and they went in and covered up all the tunnels, and they prosecuted these people, but they got off for a technicality, and later they found out they did discover the tunnels, that they were trafficking these children through these tunnels. And this was a church. A lot of them are church daycare centers. Yeah. All right, naturally speaking, most people get it concerning their careers. They'll pay the price concerning their careers. They'll go to school. They'll, if they're an Olympian, they'll pay the price, put their physical body through all kinds of stuff. They'll go years and years to school. They'll put in the extra hours at the office to get up the corporate ladder. They'll do all of these things, but they won't do anything for what really counts, what will really bring the victory in their life. They won't count the costs. Okay, they won't take up their cross. They do all the natural things. And they end up at the end of their life and thinking, is this all there is? No, there isn't. You missed the most essential part. Many say, oh Lord, send me. He starts working on them, and this is what they say. What are you doing? Okay, Isaiah 45. Oh yes. I'm going to follow Jesus. Lord, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you say me to say. I'll do what you tell me to do. Then he starts the training process and they go to pieces. Isaiah, what is going on here? I paid my tithe. I do everything right. I don't understand. I've seen it. I was sitting in a young woman's place of business one day. And her husband had lost her job. And here's a spirit-filled Christian saying the F word and everything else, just having a big meltdown right there in front of me and this other lady. After she calmed down, I went over there and prayed with her. And I think everything worked out. But I'm thinking, come on. Dear Lord in heaven. All right, Isaiah. I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. 45, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. So he's saying, I'm working on you, and you're just screaming and yelling, and all that stuff's going on, saying, why did you do this? Why are you doing that? I don't understand. I don't like this. I don't like that. He's begun a good work in you, Philippians says, and he will accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. We've got to trust the plan, you know. If we can trust the plan to clean out the closets of our nation, he's going to be cleaning our closets out too. Okay, Peter said this. Well, I just shouldn't be further along than this. I just shouldn't be like this. Yeah. Isn't that saying, Lord, why'd you do this? Isn't it the same thing? Instead of saying, Lord, I know that I'm not what I ought to be, but I know I'm not where I used to be. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to test you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. You ever see anybody but rejoicing when they've got bad news or something come? Usually no. Paul said this. This is Galatians 4:19. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What are we going through? Christ is being formed in you. That's why we shouldn't think it's strange when certain deals happen the way they do. Christ is being formed in you. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, keep going. Strong's right there. Form means to fashion, like the potter with the clay that I just read in Isaiah. Are you of the mind that the potter doesn't know what he is doing? Do you trust him? Maybe so, maybe not. He says, I remember, come back to a word that Danny gave me. I'd ask the Lord, I said, what do you want from me? I don't have anything left. What do you want from me? Just frustrated. Lord began to explain to me, well, you've got to learn to take up your cross. And then he said, I decide when it's over. Not you. You're screaming, you're crying, you're wailing, you're berating yourself, and all these things we go through doesn't move the hand of God in that respect. He has a plan, and he begins to execute his plan. And if we can learn to flow with it instead of always hitting against him, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? kind of kicking against the pricks here about things. If we can relax and enjoy the journey as much as we possibly can, how much time do we spend just getting down about things and just in our mind go back and look at our failures and all this rigmarole back and forth all the time? No joy, just miserable. What good is that? God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to enjoy the journey and the process as much as we can. And I think it's easier when we get on board with Him and go with the flow instead of always kicking against it. What now? I thought, well, I might as well just buckle down and enjoy the ride, because the Lord says, I say when it's over, not you. Because believe me, I've done everything that I can think of to try to get it off. For a long time. And sometimes, something the Lord showed me a long time ago, sometimes God is just standing there. And you can scream and bawl and squall. Don't change anything. It's not going to change it. Because why? Because you said, Lord, just take me and do something with me. I'll do whatever you want. I'll submit to whatever. You prayed that prayer. And He said, okay, buckle up. We're going for a ride. It's kind of like committing to a roller coaster, and then right in the middle of it, you're going, get me off of this thing. Lord, I've decided I don't want this anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay. All right, like the potter to the clay. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. 1, wait a minute, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I always take this scripture. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I use this scripture quite frankly. There's days I'll say, Lord, I thank you. I thank this scripture. I thank you crossed the line. You crossed the line, Lord, this time. But somehow you make it through. All right, 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul. This is when he had a lot of revelation from the Lord, but he also had a lot of warfare. He was asking the Lord about it. We read this at the last teaching, but we'll read it again. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul, he learned through the grace of God to be able to endure the hardness. Did it ever get any easier for Paul? Apparently not. We're going to look at a few scriptures concerning Paul. They're all over the book of Acts, but I just picked a few here. This is Acts chapter 14. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Nevertheless, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he had departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and he had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. So we see Paul was stoned. He just gets up, goes on about his business, preaching the gospel. Okay, 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain maid, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, and who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made them their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So we see Paul on his journey everywhere he went. Okay, Acts 21. I can't remember, I think I quoted this to y'all last week, but somebody I'd listened to was talking about, if you ain't living hell on earth, you're not doing anything for the Lord. I mean, just naturally speaking, the stuff he went through. I mean, when you start treading on Satan's territory and taking it back, he don't like it. Okay, Acts 21, 17. "And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went with us unto James, and the elders were present. And when he had greeted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, 'Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come.'" Now I think they were kind of upset there, thinking, well, we don't go through what he's gone through. "Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men who have a vow on them." Do you see what's going on here? The religious leaders, the church, Paul, he's teaching the right gospel, and so they're wanting to impose Moses to keep the peace. They're compromising. "Take them and purify thyself with them and pay their expenses, that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walk orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles who believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, except only that they keep themselves from the things offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until an offering should be offered for every one of them. So he went ahead and did what they asked. I'm a little surprised. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews who were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him. So here we go again. Here he ends up in jail again. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and at once the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they ceased beating Paul. And the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. So, man, I think, man, the poor guy. No wonder the Lord had him on the backside of the desert for such a long time. Because of what he was doing. He was bringing the truth of the gospel. And even the church was being compromised. Acts 27, we see the ship. We're not going to go into all of it, but Acts 27, we see the hurricane on the ship. So he got in bonds there. And long story short, he's going to go to Rome, stand before Caesar. Well, he perceived something about not making it, and the people wouldn't listen to him, so they end up going through a 2-week hurricane. And the last thing, he ends up on that island, and a snake comes out of the heat on his hand. And he just shook it off. Oh, that was the Apostle Paul. No one ever could attain to where he was. See, what Christians don't understand today, and there's someone that I know that was having a physical problem and had a physical problem since they were about really young. I said, have you ever considered, instead of all this money you've spent all of these years on this physician and all this medication and everything, have you ever considered, because you have a ministry, the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that because what you do and where you stand in that type of ministry, you're getting come against by the devil? Well, she said, I thought about that, but I thought, but that was Paul. You know, that's what's wrong. We're all supposed to be like Paul. We're all supposed to be warring a good warfare, but most of the church thinks, well, that's just, you know, he's right up there with Jesus. Well, aren't we up there with Jesus? Paul was a soldier just like you, and he learned obedience by what he suffered, just like Jesus, now just like you. Hebrews 12. Oh, yeah, we expect, you know, Paul. Yeah, Paul. Apostles, yeah, the apostles. But me, oh, no, no. I'm just no lowly Christian. Just every day, don't know what I'm supposed to do. God never called me to do nothing, you know. I've heard of people talk like that. I'm thinking, that's just the way they think about it. We're all called. That's why many are called or few are chosen. Okay, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race is set before us. Well, isn't that just Paul's race? Isn't that just the 12 apostles' race? You mean I have to run a race? You mean I have a race? I need to be racing? I need to be in the race? Looking unto Jesus, I just show up for church on Sunday and hope they got something for me. I need something. I need. And if they don't have it, I'll call CBN, TBN. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church that we grew up in. That's the way it is. We have our little Bless Me Clubs, little women's meetings. I can tell you, out of all of that, I can't remember that we ever did anything for anybody else. It was all inward me, pray for me, pray for my kids, pray for my husband, pray for my wife, pray for my this, pray for my that. It's all about me. Isn't that what church is usually about? Well, I was wrong with that preacher. I just didn't get nothing out of it today. I ain't the preacher. Okay. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We're supposed to be running a race. Well, I forgot verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So that indicates to me that we also have a race. We also have a path. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So he was the example for us to follow. And ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, it's not a race where every step of the way we're going, what? What are you doing? Why? So, are you going to moan about everything? Or just going to make the journey miserable for yourself and everybody else around you? You just going to moan? Or are you going to suck it up, soldier? I saw a shirt yesterday, suck it up, buttercup. I'm thinking, I get everybody one of those shirts. Suck it up, buttercup. In fact, I think that was Mickey Rooney said that in a movie. Not at the museum. He goes, suck it up, buttercup. Suck it up, buttercup. 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a good start. Are you going to question everything? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. So you never ever will have to wonder, am I going to make it? Are you going to doubt everything? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Those three questions. Are you going to question everything? You're going to moan about everything? You're going to doubt everything? 1 Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. Timothy was undergoing persecution. He had been thrown in jail, and Paul was encouraging Timothy. Timothy 1:18, or 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which pointed to thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, I've got some scriptures here. I'd like to... Here, you can give him one too. These are warfare scriptures for meditation. Good. We're just going to look at those. The reason I put these here is so much of the time when things come against us, we sit down and we start reading healing scriptures. Or we sit down and we start reading scriptures on provision. Well, I don't think we need to do that because I think the scripture already pretty well bears it out that we're already supplied, we're already healed. What's left? We need to war a good warfare. So we need to meditate on scriptures on being a warrior. All right, let's look at these. James chapter 4, verse 7. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got the page backwards on the back side. James 4, 7. It says, to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you like, I could just hold on to your list, and I'll just read them to you that way. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you're enforcing your victory by reading these scriptures and thinking about these instead of 1 Peter 2, 24. Great scripture, but it already says we're already healed. Philippians 4, 19 already says you've supplied all of our needs. So what are we lacking? Our warfare. That's where we're lacking. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 1 Peter 5. Six. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know how you humble yourself? You choose to go the Bible way, not your way, not the way of the flesh. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Isaiah 40:31, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay, Isaiah 43:2. Get over there. I don't know that one. I can know the other one. I think it's no weapon form, probably. Oh, when you pass the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Okay, Isaiah 54:17. That's no weapon formed against you so prosper, but every time that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. Ephesians 6, putting on the whole armor of God. You all know the scriptures about your provision. You need to know the scriptures concerning your warfare, being victorious, being overcomers. You need to get them built in you like these other scriptures. You're not the sick trying to get well. You're not the bum trying to get rich. Okay, Romans 6, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Sounds like to me, whatever situation's coming against you, you need to be armed and dangerous. Stand therefore, have your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So right there, praying in the Spirit is really, really, when you're worrying to do what good warfare, praying in the Spirit builds up your most holy faith. I probably didn't put that one. I didn't. It's not on here, but that would be a good one. Building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, Romans 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. How can you lose if you're looking to these? These are overcomer scriptures. Romans 12, there's not a 21, so I wrote that down. I don't know which one that one is.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Which one? What verse?
Romans 12:21.
Okay, I see it. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12 talks about fighting the good fight of faith. 2 Thessalonians. Whoops, went too far. 2 Thessalonians 3. Where's that word? Well, there it is. 2 Thessalonians 3:33. Well, there's not a 33, so I wrote that down wrong too. Maybe it's first.
It's 3:3.
Okay, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Matthew 16:18. Is that bind on earth, bound in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. John 10:10. I came that you might have life, have it more abundantly. John 16.
In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, and overcome the world.
Okay. All right, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and read it, because get it on the tape. 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Deuteronomy 3:22. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:7. For the Lord shall cause thine enemies who rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I like that. I like the, it sounds like a cartoon, you know, come against you one way and flee seven ways. Okay, Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Joshua 23:10. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is who fighteth for you as he hath promised. Psalms 18:39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Psalms 44:5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under who rise up against us. Psalms 91. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It kind of hits everything, doesn't it? A thousand may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but shall not come near thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, while I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you're using these for your warfare, you cannot go wrong. Okay. If you need to meditate for warfare, use these instead of financial or healing scriptures. You're not the sick trying to get well, 1 Peter 2:24. You're not the poor trying to get rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. You are not the weak trying to get strong, Joel 3:10. These will help you, us to win any and all battles. The point is for us to be warfare-minded at all times. What happens when a soldier doesn't do warfare? They get out of God's will. All right, this was kind of unusual. I'm going to read this and we'll be done. The Lord quickened this to me when I was doing this, and He brought this up to me, and I would have never put the two together, but this is 2 Samuel chapter 11. All right, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was ended, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful, and to look upon. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her and came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am a child. And this is what the Lord said to me. A church that doesn't do warfare becomes a harlot. I thought, okay, because this was off the wall to me. I'm thinking, see, as the soldiers of the Lord, we need to be busy about the Lord's business in warfare. If David had been doing what kings do, he would have never fallen into sin. He would have never lost his daughter got raped, and then his Absalom killed his half-brother, and then Absalom tried to take over the throne, and he died too. It set things in motion, and now we wonder why things are the way they are. Because when the church is not doing what the church is supposed to do, they start playing the harlot, and look what happens. Okay.